Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to our Wednesday rendition of Canes on Deck.
I mean, our man does not disappoint. Just right in. You know, we can go on at a random time on the raw night of the week and see stage right in there, man.
You know it. what's going on Perfect Game TV?
I'm assuming he's watching, like, Cape Cod Ball or some kind of a... Summer League stuff?
Gotta be.
That's interesting. We did have him on Buckets a couple weeks ago when we did our OG show. So TCH is now a Five Reason Sports Network guest.
Oh, Jesus.
My goodness. He was good on Buckets. He was good. We got the toned down version. We didn't get the whatever the hell you do in the chat, man.
Whose idea was that to bring him on? Was it yours or Mel's?
No, it's Melissa's.
Definitely Melissa.
Melissa had the idea of doing the OG show with some of our first guests. So that's definitely one of them. Although
CCH is an OG. He used to run it. He used to run it with me back in the day.
Oh, really?
Back in the day, yeah, man. Like 4 or 5 years ago. When I had my show over at my Miami Media School. I had my own little radio show down there, too. So we had some big names on that show. I had DJ Williams on that show, Brett Romberg on that show. I had some big-time Miami Hurricane players and college football guys. So that was a good show. And then I had CCH on the show. Yeah. But he was good. I was with Robbie Campbell. Shout out to Robbie Campbell.
At that point, you did know he was insane. You found it out later.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He was definitely toned down.
He was totally normal. I don't know what happened.
This is crazy. He wasn't that good. Yeah, he wasn't this nuts. Mason Greenhouse, 102 from the outfield, our future center field. Yeah, if he ever steps foot on campus.
I gotta
wait for half of these guys because to see if they get drafted. If they get drafted early enough, I mean, the only thing that's working in our favor is. You know, NIL now, if there's some money there, he can potentially make more money coming to school for 3 years than he can in minor league baseball, you know, riding around in a bus all day, sleeping at the La Quinta Inn. So I think he'll probably hear how to do that. So
we'll know in a couple of weeks, kind of, but based on where they're drafted
the draft is soon, right?
The 16th.
Oh, shoot. Okay. All right. So a couple of weeks, yeah.
And yeah, well, even though, you know, they still have to, if they get drafted, decide whether to sign or not, kind of, they generally tip their hand. So if someone goes high, it's because they've told the team they're going to sign. Right. If someone's like, why is that talented guy falling down? It's because he's not going to sign. So you kind
of
know.
Believe it or not, even some of the players that will tell them that they're not going to sign, they still get drafted.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, we're going to call your bluff. You know what I mean? So it's pretty interesting. Dylan Dubovic.
And Eddie's all on. Okay. I will take your word for it, man. We do not have perfect game TV.
We believe
it. So we're going to rely on your narrative here.
If that's the case, then, I mean, look, every year there's one or two guys that get drafted.
I mean, if it's only two, it's not bad. It's usually all more than that.
It's usually look, let's put it this way. You know, the number one pick in the draft, I don't know, 10 years ago now, was Carlos Correa, and he was committed to Miami, you know? So, I mean, there's stuff like that you just can't control. I mean,
And I know everyone. And ultimately, like, I know, you know, it is an art partially to figure out is the guy. You know, because some people are very talented and they still just want to go to college. Because like you said, like, even the most talented, they don't go straight to the majors, right? They're going to have to ride the bus and go stay in the La Quinta and all that stuff, even if you're the number one pick. So you know, some of them decide. So it is kind of, you know, talking to them, getting a feel for it. But, you know, Carlos Correa, talented people like that, you know, they're going to, you know,
Josh Naylor is another one.
You know, they're going to sign, you take them anyway. It doesn't matter. And then he's just like, all right, the 1 in 100 chance or whatever that something goes wrong in negotiations. And they come
What if he decides?
You got to take it. You got to take that chance.
Yeah. What if he decides, oh, my girlfriend's going to school there now. Now I'm going to go. Because that's how kids are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And CCH just made my next point for me, which was so then the way you mitigate that is you overload positions where you're pretty sure the guy's going to get drafted and go. And then you don't end up holding the bag. And we've actually done an okay job doing that. Our recruiting classes have been fine.
It's so tough to keep in touch, to keep score, to take a look at these recruiting classes. Because unlike football, they're small classes too, right? But the problem is that there's thousands and thousands and thousands of good baseball players, whereas college football is like, you know, or high school football is like, there's about 200 or 300 guys that are just lights out, you know, but not in baseball. Baseball, there's at least 1,000 kids that can play, that can come out and play somewhere. So it's tough to keep up with so many players, man. It's tough to. So I'm glad that CCH does, but we'll probably talk about you know, recruiting a little bit later on. I know. Now they can't start committing until they're junior. I know. So it's good. That's a good thing. Because before you had, like you mentioned, 8th graders committing, and you're like, what the hell? What if a kid in 8th grade, like that kid, there's this kid that I can't remember his name now. 8th grader, who's an absolute stud right now, is killing it playing the 16 and under. He's 14. And what if something happens to that kid, he regresses, and he's not the player that he was in 8th grade, but he's committed to you, you know? What do you do there? Obviously, you're going to have to cut ties with him. It's just too complicated, man. Wait until your junior year. I think that's a smart move. Although you're probably going to get a lot of, like, these silent commits, you know, that are going to be committed to a school. They just won't announce it until their junior year. Dexter McLeod, that's the kid. Dexter McLeod Jr. you got to see this kid's tape. It's very, very seldomly do you see a kid look like this as an 8th grader. And he's, like, 91 on the bump. It's crazy. Yes, Lolly Esquivel, who is a Miami Legacy and is committed to LSU.
That's a familiar name, Esquivel.
Yes, it is. Lolly Esquivel. He's the one that made it cool to wear your pants over your cleats, like, you know, in the back.
Yeah.
You used to, like, put them under your cleats like that or inside. You used to tuck your pants inside your shoes. So that was a big Lolly Esquivel thing also. So what a potalita Lolly Eskimo was, but he was such a stud too. So shout out to him. He's over at, I think he's in Texas, and he runs like a camp out there. He coaches out there, and this kid's a stud. This kid is really good.
Nice. This kid is going to LSU. We missed there.
Going to LSU. That's a big miss. Yep. He's young too, though, if I'm not mistaken.
JD. Got time.
I know, JD. That's your boy too. Like, man. But, by the way, JD was at the game yesterday. I know I mentioned it to you last night, but JD was at the game yesterday at the Red Sox Canes game. So, yes, Texas Canes. Yeah. Yeah. And his kid's going to LSU. What the hell is that? That's
come on, man. Yeah. Put a little loyalty.
That's crap, Lolly. Lolly, get it together, man. Obviously, JD being there to support, you know, his boy, Mr. Alex Cora. So
you saw Cam Worth throughout the first pitch today.
Yeah, I saw that.
Romy Gonzalez started for the Red Sox. You went to the wrong game, man.
I know, man. I'm going tomorrow again, so hopefully Romy gets to start again.
Romy gets out there again.
You know, obviously, well, John Jay is out there too. I said hello to John Jay. He's the first base coach for the Marlins.
Yeah, John Jay.
He's the one that caught Cam Ward. Yes, which is kind of cool. Cane to cane there. And you know what I didn't realize? I had totally forgotten. So I was sitting so close. I was four rows from the field. Like, it was that close. Andy Fox is the first base coach for the Red Sox. I don't know if you recognize that name, but Andy Fox was a shortstop. He was like a platoon shortstop for the Marlins back in the early 2000s. And so I saw him coaching first base.
It is a familiar name.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit. A tall, skinny guy, Andy Fox. Kind of a blast from the past there. So really cool to see the game last night. Yeah, I mean, they've got some studs there, man. Some young guys, Jared Duran and Sedan Rafaela. And I had no idea who the hell played for the Marlins, except Jazz Chisholm. Yeah, it was Jazz Chisholm and the rest of the funky bunch there. It was weird.
Yeah, the Marlins are I hope you're out there at Marlins White Sox.
I know you're gonna be out there,
which is such
an obscure game, like Sox and Marlins.
I got family in town. It was the game to go to. Let's just look. All right, so I'm looking at Josh Bell. I know.
Yeah, I know Josh.
Jake Berger. Yeah, I don't know. Vidal Brujan. Who is this? This is like the beginning of major league. Where like who the bleep are these guys?
Right, Tristan Casas was a Canes signing as well.
Good God.
De La Cruz, I know. Jesus Sanchez, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Nick Fortes or Forts, whatever you call him. I mean, he's – I've known who he is. But, I mean, somebody – like, I don't know who the hell Brujan was.
Brujan, yeah. Vidal Brujan definitely sounds like a made-up name.
Jake Berger. I know Jake Berger, the first baseman.
Yeah.
I don't know, the shortstop, Emmanuel something. I can't remember his name. Rivera or something like that. Valdez, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
I have no idea who these guys are. No idea. None. And they're fielding guys out there. Like, that's a minor league team. It's a minor league team, man. It's pretty sad what the Marlins are doing. But what are you going to do? Yeah. It's the Red Sox, baby.
I mean, but yeah, Jazz is a Red Sox fan anyway.
It sucks.
Yeah, the Marlins have given up. So,
yeah. When they traded Arias, yeah.
Yeah, and you know when they didn't.
That was coming though.
Yeah, like, but they didn't. Let so that you get in. You get in to the wild card last year. Get knocked out by the Phillies, swept.
Right.
An ambitious franchise.
We should build from that, right?
Yeah, strengthens. They didn't do that. Nope. They forced the GM out.
Kim Ng, I think she did okay, man.
Yeah, she got him into the playoffs and they forced her out and, you know, kind of did not add to their team. And
do you know why they forced her out? Do you have any idea?
Well, they were trying to do some kind of they restructured. So they didn't just have, you know, so she essentially would have had a part of her role, not the whole role. So she just left. I think she was out of contract too. So they had to re-sign her and she's just like, I'm not doing that. F you and left. But I mean, really, the big thing is it doesn't matter who the GM was. Like, they decide not to invest to build it. Like you said, grow from here is what a normal ambitious franchise would do. All right, we hit the playoffs. How do we take that next step? They decide not to invest at all.
Their top three pitchers are all hurt, right? Alcantara had Tommy John, I think.
That's just been brutal. But you know, if you get to the playoffs and you don't add, you're moving backwards.
I will tell you this: games are fast, man. I was
the pitch clock,
not even 3 hours,
has been a godsend to all levels of baseball. Just like you don't notice it from the standpoint of It doesn't look like the players are rushing. Everything is still like under control. It's not forcing the game to be like stupid.
Right.
Everything's in rhythm. It's fine. And then, oh, the game ended in 2.5 hours.
Yeah. It's crazy. When I looked up, I was like, is it the top of the eighth already?
And it's it's night and day difference. It's so crazy. Much more enjoyable to watch. You're not out there for 4.5 hours.
It's true. I totally agree.
And it didn't ruin the game either, which is, I was always worried about that. Like I was going to become.
So was I, because I thought, well, it's going to take strategy out of the game. And
it takes strategy out and also just like make it stupid. Like, okay, the pitcher is rushing right. the ball up to the plate to like, you know, beat the clock. But that's not really happening.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I think they did good. I think they did good by taking the shift out as well. So,
yeah, I'm hoping they do that in college next.
Yeah, because you just see too much of it, too. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, he says, you don't really notice it except for the fact that you're, you know, game's over a lot faster. That's what you notice. You don't notice it in the actual product.
It'd be longer to get down the parking garage than it did to watch that game. So,
yeah.
It was good. All right, so we haven't talked a lick about Miami Hurricanes.
You know, the Hurricanes. CCH is trying to.
Yeah, he is. Yes. So let's shift it over. It's a good segue there, CCH. Yeah. Thanks, man. Three new commits that we haven't spoken about. If you blinked your eyes and then saw the commitment list, you'd be like, whoa. We're talking about, God, how many now we've got committed to us?
Hold on, let me get the full count here.
10 or 12 guys.
It is, let's see.
Transfer portal, by the way. What time transfer portal here?
It is 13.
13 guys, look at that.
Or 12, sorry.
12? Okay, so.
Your boy can't count.
12. It's all right.
I let the Indian people down. That was math and I couldn't do it.
He's like the computer science guy over here, and I'm, you know.
I'm Indian. I got to do the math correctly. That was embarrassing, but we'll recover from that.
Come on, get it together.
We'll recover from that. yeah, I mean, I'll just read through the names real quick. So, most of these are ones that we've, you know, obviously that we've talked about already. So, Reese Lumpkin, Bobby Marsh, Rob Evans, Griffin Hugues, Max Galvin, Will Smith, who we had on the show, Derek Williams, Todd Hudson, Carson Fisher, and then you said the three we hadn't that have committed since our last show: Tanner Smith, Jackson Cleveland, Jake Ogden.
Jake Ogden, isn't he a shortstop? CCH.
Yeah,
so he still needs to add a shortstop. I think.
Yeah, I think Ogden's going to play short. He played third at Greensboro, but I obviously Cuvée's.
And I think he played short at Barry, if I'm not mistaken. Oh yeah, we didn't talk about Max Galvin either. Totally forgot.
Yeah, you know, Oklahoma State outfielder. Either, so just in terms of depth, it is six pitchers.
Okay.
Right.
Hudson's about three or four listed, outfielders, right?
Yeah, Hudson's listed as a DH here.
Yeah. I think he's just going to hit. So
yeah, three outfielders, and then again, Ogden's listed as a third baseman, and then Tanner Smith's a catcher.
Right. So Tanner Smith comes from a prestigious baseball program in Oregon State. Not much of a hitter. So I'm a little skeptical about that because yes, he's a great catcher apparently, according to Max Kesselhoff. Yes, we also have a silent commit. Okay, cool, perfect. Well, I don't understand what the big deal is about being so damn silent. Just already commit.
In Miami, we're allowed people. So
yeah, just say it already.
Like, you don't do anything silent.
What's the secret? Are you talking about Jack wasn't much of a hitter?
He's right. Coming from Oregon, he was a
coming from a 190 hitter. Or something
yeah,
like that.
And actually his first year was also
he didn't get much playing time though.
Yeah, he got better, and then you know kept getting benched so they could put a righty into strikeouts. That's
funny. Get me started. JD, that's true.
Work on your craft too, JD.
Look,
I don't want that again next season.
Look, I know. Look, I'm skeptical. I'm only skeptical because. Transfer guys, sometimes it's tough, but it's a great catcher, so he's going to call good games. Okay, great. If we can get 280, 290 out of him, I'm happy. But if you're going to come in and hit 220 here also, I don't really care how good of a receiver you are. You got to hit the baseball, man. You got to hit the baseball. That's the bottom line. I know, Vish, you're big on that too. Like, this guy didn't hit well at Oregon State. Let's hope that he kind of turns it around and has a good season with the stick here. So that's all. But he does come from a really good program. So I like the pedigree there as far as you know, where he's coming from and the type of competition that he had at Oregon State. That's good. You know, also Wichita State, the kid from Wichita State, Derek Williams. I like him as well. Jake Ogden, UNC Greensboro, by way of Barry University, baby.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah, local kid, Barry University. But yeah, so he played at Greensboro this past year, but he's a D2 kid, you know, and now he's playing D1 baseball up in Greensboro at a good program over there, and had some good numbers, hit about 315, if I'm not mistaken, 313, something along those lines. Hit like 320 at Barry. So he's been consistent, hitting in the 300s there, even in the move from a D2 program to a D1 program. And, he may be our shortstop of the future. I mean, if he plays third base, maybe Cuvée moves over to first. Maybe he DHs. Those are options as well. Cuvée did have a little bit of an issue, committing maybe way too many errors, if you ask me, at third base. But
Yeah. Wherever
he plays, his bat plays wherever he does, so I don't care. As long as he keeps swinging the stick the way he does.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes, though, when you DH kids, if it impacts them at the plate, too, because you're literally just, like, sitting in the dugout the whole game, go out there for, like, one at-bat,
right,
and then go sit down again.
It does.
It's going to get them in the field.
Yeah, so maybe he goes to first, right? It looks like we're missing a first baseman now with Jason Torres committing to Alabama. Just a quick little update there. Weird kid from Hialeah goes to Alabama, but...
culture.
What did he say here? Jens, you know? Oh, Anthony. Oh, okay. I don't think we have a shortstop of the future inside of your classes. I don't know. You better ask CCH that question.
Yeah, CCH said we got Sondland committed shortstop. We had the best.
Excuse me.
As far as third base, is the future because, like, after the best third baseman in the country who was a freshman last year and is coming back.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about for 3 years from now, basically, because he's here two more years. So I don't honestly know if we have a shortstop, a third baseman lined up for 2027, which is
I know CCH mentioned that we have like three third basemen that we recruited. So that's.
Yeah. Again, we're really talking 27.
Right.
Because Cuvée is here at least two more,
two more years. Unless Jake Ogden moves to third and you bring in a guy for first, move Cuvée over to first.
Right, there could be a position change of sorts there, but just like, I mean, Torres was the third baseman, then he was the first. But Cuvée, not really worried about third base.
I'm not worried. And at second base, we still got Dorian one more year.
Right.
He's kind of.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards carries the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
The heart of this team right now, which I'm fine with. He had a solid year, solid bounce back year. So,
bounce back year, and kind of one of the few guys that was really good in the field.
Yep, definitely was. And he can play. Listen, he can play short. He played short in high school. That's what he played at Doral. So, but anyways,
but I'm assuming that back to the new kids we got. Jake Ogden is going to be on the field. So,
Right.
If we don't have an option, I mean, CCS just listed two on the incoming freshman class. So we have a silent commit.
That's been between Dylan Dubovic and Calvin Jr. I don't know who those guys are. Then he says something about some bulldog throwing off things Magana. Like this. If I know who the hell these guys are.
You have to have CTH on the show just to name some dudes. But but I think, you know, I'm assuming Ogden and Cuvée are going to play. So, you know, they'll piece that together. Like you said, Dorian can play short. You can slide Ogden over if Cuvée, because like you said, a Barry, he didn't play short. If Cuvée's still at third, if we're looking for a first baseman, Cuvée can go across the diamond to first, and Ogden can play third if we plug the shortstop gap. So we've got options in the infield. I think we got some versatility there. We can move some people around if we need to.
I look at Jake Ogden and I see, you know who he reminds me of a little bit? Mark Sobolewski. Remember that guy? Remember that name?
Yes.
I'll take a Mark Sobolewski at third base right now, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yes, I would.
I'll take a Tyler Palmer at third base right now. I'll take a Gator Trader like Tyler Palmer.
he hit over 300 in Greensboro, so hopefully that'll translate up to this level.
Yeah. A lot of things can change. God, fall ball probably starts in a couple of months already. Isn't that crazy?
It's going to be on us before we know it, man.
It's crazy, man.
Because, I mean, college starts way before MLB, so, like,
right.
Like they're out there in February and the season starts. So, it's not, that's yeah, wild. We're already, yeah, no, I mean, they're gonna go through summer ball and then, fall ball, and then next thing you know, we'll figure out who got injured.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, fuck. Random Thursday in November. Shit, Tommy John. God
damn it. Right, exactly. Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. I hope not.
I mean, it happens every year. Someone's going to get hurt. But...
Well, and look, you got some of these guys that we didn't expect to, you know, I guess put their name in the hat, per se, for the draft, like Walters, you know. What's his name? Brian Walters.
Yeah.
You know, which was kind of surprised me, considering he's had some arm trouble. In the past, like he's gonna go out there. And, who's the other kid that went out there? There's two more guys.
Max is telling you to say hi to Sammy.
What's up, Sammy? Oh, yeah. That's my boy Max right there, man. What's up, Sammy?
Who's Sammy? Sorry, I'm totally lost here.
I'll let Max answer that for you.
All right. I'll just ask Max inside if this is not a.
No, he might be. Listen, if he's asking me to say hi to Sammy right here, maybe Max will answer, you know. Max, who's Sammy, man? Who's Sammy? But hi, Sammy. How are you? Pleasure to meet you. Yeah, look, it's – what did I say about Max earlier? I said that Max Kesselhalt said that – what did I say? Something about Max Kesselhalt. I forgot. I said something about a player that he said was going to be a stud. Oh, Tanner Smith. According to my sources, Max Kesselhoff, he said Tanner Smith is a hell of a catcher behind the dish. Okay. He's a great receiver, but can he dish it out as well? See what I did there? Yeah. Great receiver, but can he? He's a great receiver behind the dish, but can he dish it out? God, bro. I'm so good. I'm on a roll today.
I think we have some PTSD too, just because we've had so many dead bats in the lineup the last couple of years. Even 2 years ago when we were really good, right, there was like three hitters in a row that couldn't hit. So it was kind of like you'd have to wait for the lineup to turn over, get back to Cape. It's all right, now we can score for the next inning or so, and then you know, after you get past this Levinson or whatever, it's like, well, no one else could hit. So I think, you know, that's the prospect of having a catcher that can't hit.
There it is. What's up, Sammy? What's up? Got a good one there in Max. Got a good one in Max. That's my dude.
Yes, we will all vouch for our guy Kessel out here.
We love Max. We love him, man. He's awesome. 12 days of – look, This is what CCH says here.
Who are we talking about? We're talking about. We're not talking about Gage, are we?
Here's the thing. No, I think he's talking about Rafe and Herrick. If those two are 1-2 next year,
God help us.
Yeah, I might have to come out of retirement. I might have a year left of eligibility. It's no bueno. No bueno.
If that's the answer, I'm gonna really look at Cam Ward's first pitch from today and see what he's got. I'm funny to go out there and throw some innings.
Yeah, no kidding, man. No kidding. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man.
Yeah, the offseason shows are always fun because nothing serious is happening.
I know. I love this.
Oh, yeah. He's talking about some of our call. Okay, so our high school.
David Shields. Are you talking about Shields and Johnny King or Rafe and Herrick? Okay. You scared me there for a second, dude.
We know the entire rotation is gone from last year. And frankly, yeah, the only one you'd really, I mean, Rafe, I guess, but really, I mean, if you could get Gage back. Yeah, but okay, there was no chance. There's no chance of that, which we all know. So.
You know, we were talking so much trash about Gage at the beginning of the season. Turned out to be like this absolute stud.
Making first team all ACC pitcher off of that team.
Yeah.
That is unbelievably impressive.
That's big. That's big. So. Same here. Say hi. Hi, Max. She's a keeper. Oh, Sammy here. Oh, hey, what's up, Sammy?
He's already hijacking his
I'll do it.
Hi, Max. She's a keeper.
There you go.
I don't understand why you make him, he has his own show. Make him do it.
Why are we taking orders? Gonna have to hijack his show. Does he have a show? Isn't his show tonight? Oh no, his show is
yesterday.
It was yesterday. That's right.
That's why he's usually doing it against our show.
That's right. Well, he did text me yesterday. I texted him a photo of where I was at. So yeah. he knows. But and you know, there's times where I wish that he lived here. Cause like yesterday I was like, if Max was in town, I would have called Max to go watch the game. Because I asked everybody to go to that damn game, and nobody wanted to go to that damn game. I know, Vish, if you were in town, you would have gone to the game, too. So I was like, damn it, man. Like, Max, what are you doing? Okay, now maybe just bring Sammy with you, because we all know that Miami's better than San Diego anyways. But whatever. Yeah, so look, at the end, we didn't even mention Jackson Cleveland.
Yeah, who,
by the way, another guy that Max is very high on. He's got good stuff. Okay, so I'm really excited about bringing him to the staff as well. He's a hard-throwing kid, but he's got some good off-speed stuff as well.
Yeah,
so.
And I like his he's got good command of his pitches.
Yeah.
Very, very strong, I think 4-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Nice. So he'll pepper the zone with, like you said, good stuff. So he's a big get. That's, you know, we had – by the end of the year, it was Gage – Rafe and then Kaba and Nick Robert having to do all of the pitching. Yeah. So, you know, we need quality arms and he was one of those. CCH. This is, man, CCH is on point.
You're talking about pitchers? Yeah. Right,
yeah, right. No, I mean, I think we're building like that. We're a bunch of solid arms, so we're not going to be relying on like one guy out of the bullpen like this year. We still need the starters.
What it's looking like to me. Okay, because again, that's what I was about to say, is the thing that has me that has me worried the most is that we don't have a Friday and a Saturday guy. You know, Sunday guy, you can kind of find someone that's consistent enough to go out there and you know, be good on Sunday. It's fine. But didn't Kaba retire? I think Kaba medically retired, right? Didn't he?
That was the rumor that someone who will remain nameless said in the chat, but I don't think that was official.
Oh, okay.
Vargas is still in the portal, right?
He might be. Yeah, look, our bullpen is going to be nasty, right? I mean, sans Oliveira, because every time I
he comes Vargas in. Vargas is not in the portal.
Oh, it was fake news. Okay, good. I mixed
Vargas up with Caruso. Vargas is not in the portal.
Look, honestly, Cabo's the guy that could start, right? I mean, here's the thing. Here's what I think JD is doing, okay? We do have some arms. But I think what JD is doing is he is setting up this pitching staff like a major league pitching staff. in the sense that, you know, now they've gone from who really cares about wins and losses for your starting rotation. It's about getting a few innings in, getting your three or four innings in, and going to the bullpen. You know, going to the bullpen and have, you know, three or four guys give you one or two innings, and that's how you work your, you know, that's how you work your rotation. I think that he's going to go to that major league, what's the word I'm looking for that major league blueprint, right, of how you put together a pitching staff. I think that that's what he's going for. So I don't know if you're going to see, I mean, at this point in the game, I don't know how you, you know, who's going to be your number one guy. Who's going to be that guy that's your shutdown guy? Are you just going to have a committee of solid starters and then have that kick-ass bullpen? Because that's what it's looking like to me, right?
Well, I think it's oof, Olivera could start. Oh, my God.
I'm not a fan of – look, I'm a fan of his stuff. I'm a fan of his stuff. He's got good stuff, right? He's 92 to 94. And he's got a good little 12 to 6 curveball there, but he doesn't understand how to pitch yet.
Every time he gets hammered, I mean, we keep talking about FSU because they were the worst team in the ACC 2 years ago, and obviously in Omaha this year. Yeah, I'm forgetting their best pitcher,
Jamie Arnold.
Yeah, he was the same thing. Yeah. It was terrible, got hammered, and they kind of, so it's possible, but I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe Olivera should be starting. This is exactly what Thomas is, of course. But it would take a pretty big leap.
Yeah, because I mean, talking about starting, could he be a midweek guy? Maybe, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but Olivera didn't really even show flashes of it. I mean, he was really just hammered pretty consistently.
The kid I like is Jordan Vargas, but he again had arm issues, so he's still yet to. Seeing if he can.
Yeah, Kaba's interesting.
I think he's
got. He really came on at the end of the year, and was probably our best pitcher by the end. Certainly out of the bullpen, but overall just kept coming in. I think he could definitely start, but also I kind of like him. He's so good under pressure.
Right.
I kind of like him in the bullpen when like hit is going down. You can get Kaba the ball and he can get you out of it, and so I like that.
And you know what, just to kind of, I get a lot of freshmen get ripped. I get that. But if you look at let's do it. If we're going to compare, we got to do it right. So the best team in the state, potentially Florida Gators. Okay. They had a freshman in their line and their starting rotation. I don't remember if he was a Friday night guy or the Sunday guy, but the kid came in and he was nasty and you could barely hit him. And that's what you need. You need guys like that. That's a difference maker. Yeah, I know. I know the freshman can't be depended on, but if you have a difference maker as a freshman, those are the kind of guys that you need to have out there. I don't know if Miami has that right now. I don't know about the incoming guys. Maybe one of the incoming guys could surprise some of us. Maybe Olivera can make that. You know, take that leap. You've got Brian Walters on the back end. You've got a guy that I'm hoping comes back is Julian Hernandez. I don't know if he will. Excuse me, but he's still in the portal as well. So, you know, there's a lot of but he got to Omaha. Like, come on, but he got to Omaha, and he pitched in the regionals, and he was studying the regionals, and like, come on, we're not gonna have.
Yeah, but I mean, someone is gonna have to start. I think we're still looking to bring guys in. So
I think we have to.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah.
You know, I wish we would have gotten a guy like a Tommy Lepore or something like that. But
yeah, and I mean, kids are still entering the portal. Slade Naderman entered on the 28th,
right,
which was what, Sunday?
Friday.
Last Friday. Right. So you know, there's a bunch of prospects still there. We just gotta CCH. I don't think we're done. You know, pushing kids into the portal from our existing team either. Still. You know, so there's, and then, so I think what will happen is some of the high school guys are also going to sign. They're not going to get to campus. Right. Some of the guys on the roster are still going to leave. And yeah, he'll have to make the numbers work. Because like it's 12 portal guys in right now. And we have a few still. So far from our guys that entered the portal, the ones that have not found a home yet, Slade Naderman, Julian Hernandez, Lorenzo Carrier, Luca Reyes, JT Caruso, and Chris Diaz. So those are all still looking for homes. Eric Fernandez went to Wichita State. Ashton Crowther to South Carolina. Jason Torres to Bama. Blake Sierra to Florida. JD Urso back to Tampa. Antonio Jimenez to UCF. And Chris Cinta to Houston. So they're all, other than Urso went to D2, Fernandez went to Wichita State, which is a big program, but in a smaller conference. The other ones are all big conferences, Big 12, SEC. Yeah. So
kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, I hate to put you on the spot. This the answer could just be no. What are the rules with like NIA and D2 and all that? Because our guy Pro Baseball Radar, he was mentioning like North Carolina's first baseman entered the portal, but he still had D2 eligibility, but not D1 for whatever reason. North Carolina's first baseman. God, I forget his name. He's a starter. He's probably going to go pro. Anyway, get drafted and leave, but like
I'm not talking about
but I guess even though he's done with his D1 eligibility, he has D2 eligibility apparently. So I think it just works differently. I think that's how, because we were wondering how Urso could possibly still have eligibility left. It's because he went back to Tampa and D2 has different rules.
Yeah, they do. They definitely and they even have different rules for guys that have played pro ball. It's weird.
Yeah, so it's kind of the Wild West out there.
I had a friend that did that. He got drafted out of high school. I think I told you the story before, right? Got drafted out of high school by Seattle. Went to go play for Seattle's, minor league teams. And then decided he, wanted to go back to school. He wanted to go to school. So he ended up going back to school. But the only way he can go back to school and play is if he went to a Division II program or lower. And then on top of that, you can't get redrafted. You have to come out and sign as a free agent. So he went back to school, pitched for a couple of years at Barry, and then he signed a contract as a free agent, as an undrafted free agent, because you can't get drafted. You have to sign. You have to sign as a free agent to go back. And then he played up until AAA, and then he hung him up. So yeah, there's different rules for D2.
Yeah, and just to follow it up, so again, follow our guy at Baseball Radar. If you didn't catch our interview with him a couple, he's always awesome. Kind of really goes deep into it, but he's got his metrics, which he talked through with us on the show. Yeah. He said he added 10 players, D1 players that are in the portal that are only eligible for D2, D3, or NIA.
Wow.
So there are different rules and. That answered the – because I think when Urso entered the portal, we're like, what the bleep? There's no way this guy has
25 years old.
Yeah, but he's got D2 eligibility, and so did, like, North Carolina's first baseman, Aaron the portal. He can only – although probably he's drafted. He's probably going pro, but I think it was just to keep his option. Get a little bit of leverage if he doesn't want to sign with the team or whatever. Right. Probably it's more for that. But, yeah, there's some weird rules down there at the D2 level.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens soon. Next week, Sean, the Kings will be back on the map. JD is doing a great job with the portal. Yes, Sean, I agree. I think they're doing a good job. Definitely. So we'll be back next week on Tuesday. We're probably going to have a guest.
I think so. Actually, well, let's talk. Tuesday is my sister's birthday, so I don't know if I can do
it. We'll be back on Wednesday.
Wednesday, I think I'm flying back from Miami to here.
We'll be back on Thursday. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Not next week, the following week.
We'll figure it out.
Right now, so.
Yeah, so. I think.
I think they always do a good job recruiting, man. I think that's never been an issue. It's just an issue of getting the guys on the field and then developing some of those guys. So we'll be all right. I think we'll be all right.
We need development. We need better injury luck.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Canes on Deck. Subscribe to the 5 Reasons Canes podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcast. Make sure you follow us, check us out on YouTube. Go to the 5 Reasons Canes network. Subscribe, hit the like button, give us a shout out there, and just be on the lookout for our next episode. We should be coming up either.
Yeah, we'll get it in. We'll figure out a way to get it in. We will get it in.
We'll get it in.
We'll get it in. There's a lot to talk about. Like I said, we're lining up some guests, some of the names we talked about today.
That's right.
Before you end, Jess, happy 4th of July, man. It is about less than 2 hours away. Happy Independence Day. The baseball is the American of American sports. So
damn right. And I'll be at the game tomorrow, you know, drinking a cold one and having a wiener.
Yeah. There were many ways to say that. That was certainly one of them.
Drinking a cold one and eating a wiener. You got to make sure you cut that one up. All right.
New intro for next year.
The American dream. The American dream. Eat a wiener and drink a cold one.
I will say, eat a wiener, drink a cold one with air conditioning.
With air conditioning. Correct. With air conditioning. Yeah. Very important. Never mind. I'm going to stop.
Probably should not get demonetized. I don't want
YouTube to demonetize all the money that we're making on this podcast.
There are cents at stake, man. There are literal cents.
I'll tell you.
But everyone everyone obviously enjoy the 4th, but be safe out there. If you're going to blow shit up, do so in a safe manner.
That's right.
Blow things up, not yourself. That is the goal.
Please don't lose a finger. You're going to need this. We'll see you guys soon. Happy 4th of July. Adios.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.